And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
On today's Fantasy Baseball in 15, we'll look at some players having eventful returns in the upcoming FAB options.
Like death and taxes, Dodgers get a Dodger.
I have not had three cold brews yet.
It works great in a fantasy league.
I'm just glad I am not at the dentist.
Fantasy Baseball in 15 on The Athletic.
Welcome to Fantasy Baseball 15 for Friday, June 4th, presented by Topps. Check out Topps Project 70, celebrating 70 years of Topps baseball cards. I'm Al Melchior. I'm here with Michael Beller. And Michael, this is not the show I was envisioning on Thursday night when I was starting to put the notes together. Thought we'd be talking a lot about Eliezer Hernandez and what a really good two-start option he would be for the coming week. Very disappointing return for him. But to bounce it out, we had a very encouraging return in the same game from Ke'Bryan Hayes. So let's start with Hernandez. He sustained a strained quad while running from third to home and had to be helped off the field. Don Mattingly said afterwards that this is likely not a day-to-day situation. Is it still advisable at this point, if you were planning on picking up Eliezer Hernandez, to pick him up to stash him, or do we just wait and see what happens here?
Yeah, probably not. When your manager comes out and says that right away, it's going to be something long. I think it's safe to say that. Can we just get the universal DH, please? Can we just get it next year? Can we have it? This is ridiculous.
Yeah, I've come around on that as, you know, someone who grew up a Cubs fan and a Phillies fan, and watching the pitcher hit. It's been a slow transition for me, but yeah, I mean, you see something like this and it's hard to argue against it. But focusing on something more positive here, Ke'Bryan Hayes coming back from his IL stint and a couple of base hits against the Marlins, a triple and a single. And, and other developments here. I mean, we were looking at Eliezer Hernandez, maybe having a two-start week. Obviously that's not happening now, but the other option that, we're starting to look at here is Tony Gonsolin coming up for the Dodgers and taking that rotation spot that's been vacated now for weeks by Dustin May. He threw what is ostensibly his last rehab stint, 3 2/3 innings, 60 pitches for AAA Oklahoma City. Not really going as deep into that game as I think many of us expected, and certainly not as deep as many of us wanted. Do you still think that he is, and look, we still have to make sure that he's not making another rehab start, but as of right now, do you think that he's safe to roll out as a two-start option, seeing that he's not really all that stretched out?
I think so. I mean, that first start's coming against Pittsburgh. I don't know off the top of my head who that second start's coming against. That's obviously going to be a nice start for him. He's going to be in the rotation. Obviously, by the time we're actually making bids on Sunday, I think we'll have a pretty clear picture as to whether he's going to get the call and get the activation. I think he's still going to be in there. And even if you have to take, a short-term hit in terms of volume because he's not fully stretched out for the first couple of starts, this is still someone you want on your team. He's still going to be a Dodger starter for the foreseeable future. I would bet on him being in that rotation for the rest of the season. So he's still someone you want on your team. No matter what, he will be someone who I would be pursuing aggressively anywhere where he's available.
Yeah, and given that they're really, because most teams have either a 5 or a 6-game schedule, lots of teams with a 5-game schedule this coming week, not many 2-star pitchers to begin with. So Gonsolin really stands out as possibly your best option with the risk that is still involved there. Just a few IL moves here to report on. Madison Bumgarner on the IL. Not a big surprise there, dealing with shoulder inflammation. Andrew Vaughn has been placed on the COVID-19 IL. And a couple of moves for the Giants. Mike Yastrzemski with a thumb sprain and Logan Webb with the shoulder strain. Boy, it's been a frustrating season for Webb. He's pitched well when he's been able to, but between getting moved to the bullpen and getting moved to the IL, just a rough week for him. But maybe we see the return of Scott Kazmir to the Giants rotation. We'll have to see how that goes over the weekend. And Brandon Belt maybe coming back to the Giants lineup this weekend. So a good sign there. And a really, really favorable schedule for the Giants hitters. Two games at Texas, four at Washington. Yes, they will have to contend with Max Scherzer, but otherwise the matchups for them, pretty favorable this coming week. So good news for Brandon Belt and for pretty much any of the Giants that are out there on waivers. Definitely check that out. Colton Wong looked like he could be a really good option next week, but he left the Brewers game against the Diamondbacks with oblique discomfort. So that's one we'll definitely track closely over the weekend. Ryan McMahon did not play against the Rangers. He has a minor groin strain. And a bit of a surprising move here, Michael. The Royals sending down Edward Olivares to AAA Omaha. We just talked to him about him very recently as somebody you should target to pick up for steals and a little bit of power. How soon do you anticipate that he would be back in the Royals lineup?
I'm not even going to try to predict this because of just how bizarre and head-scratching of a move this was to begin with here, with bringing him up and then sending him right back down. I'm pulling it up really quickly. I mean, they just burned an option. You know, he's got two more options. It's very strange that they would have done something like this. So when he comes back, I will be back on him, but I'm not going to try and predict when that's going to happen.
Yeah, but watch that one, because when he does come back, and assuming that there's playing time for him, just intriguing as we thought he was a few days ago. So we'll hopefully see him back soon. Kendall Graveman is out of quarantine, so good news there, but still needs to build up his workload to come back to the Mariners bullpen. And a few other bullpen notes here. Kyle Zimmer pitching in the fifth and the sixth inning for the Royals against the Twins on Thursday. Scott Barlow coming in and getting a two-inning save. I've been waiting all year for Scott Barlow to get a save. Well, this was actually his second one. But, you know, nonetheless, it's kind of an interesting pattern for the Royals here. Not necessarily one we want to see for fantasy purposes, but it really does seem like they're looking at each situation very uniquely and independently and mixing and matching roles there. So maybe not then a good indicator for us to go out and pursue Barlow or Zimmer or anybody else.
Yeah, it just feels like a sort of bullpen that until Josh Stomont is back, that they're not just going to have a set closer. And with how long his knee sprain could have him out, even when he comes back, maybe he won't be coming back into the same role that he was in before he got hurt. So a bullpen to avoid unless you're absolutely desperate for saves.
All right. Do you feel the same way still about the Reds? Lucas Sims getting a two-inning save against the Cardinals.
Yeah, I think so. Again, a bullpen where they're going to a bullpen where they're going to mix and match. I'm so tense about this. I'm dropping pens. So bullpen where they're going to mix and match for the most part. I like these guys a little more because it seems to be a little bit more zeroed in on Sims and Antone. So it doesn't feel like you're really grasping at anything that's moving in the bullpen. But still, you're probably not going to have someone getting the lion's share of the opportunities.
All right. And one more situation to look at. One that we visited on Thursday's show, and that is the Marlins. This has just been a mess lately. So we had speculated maybe Dylan Floro gets the next save opportunity. Although, you know, we didn't certainly, Michael, I know you did not feel too strongly about pursuing him or anybody else there. But Floro pitching the eighth inning, his typical role with a 3-2 lead in Pittsburgh. Then he loaded up the bases, and then Jacob Stallings cleared the bases with a game-winning double. So I guess that's good news for Yimi Garcia, because Floro's got some issues of his own right now. So I think that's still probably status quo there, that if you got Garcia, no reason to panic yet. But we'll watch that situation because it is a mess.
Don't just ride the index. Seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, let's take a look at some other things that happened on the Thursday slate. Ryan Yarbrough with a complete game at Yankee Stadium. Two runs allowed on six hits with no walks, six strikeouts. Nice little bounce back start for him. He gets the Nationals this coming week. How do you feel about him as a one start option? Again, bearing in mind, there's not really great two start options to stream this week.
Yeah, bingo, and I feel pretty decent about this. This Washington team has been one you've been able to exploit this year. Part of that's been a completely anomalous two-month performance from Juan Soto that he is snapping out of. But this is a good spot, and this is we know every time he takes the mound, every time someone on Tampa takes the mound, pretty solid win upside. So, yeah, I think Ryan Yarbrough is definitely in that mix this week.
All right. Well, getting back to a two-start option here, Martin Perez is going to be one next week as things project out this week. But unenviable matchups. You get the Astros and the Blue Jays at home. But a great start for Perez. I mean, not a lot of strikeouts, just 4 7⅔ innings. But the fact is, he did go 7 2/3 innings, not allowing a run and only giving up six hits and a walk. So Perez has been more often pretty good than not this year. How do you feel about him with those two starts?
Don't like it. If you're desperate for volume, if you need two starts, as we've already said a few times, the options aren't really there this week, so I get it. But, man, I would have to be either, like, if we're talking Roto, like, way ahead or way behind in ERA and WHIP. If we're talking head-to-head, like, you know, maybe I'm just not a good pitching team, and so I'll take a shot on, you know, wins and Ks, but I don't like it, and you shouldn't like going against Houston and Toronto.
All right. Well, I know we like going against the Marlins, especially lately. We like that better. And a couple of pitchers who performed really well on Thursday, both are going to get the Marlins in a one-start week coming up. Austin Gomber going six innings, not giving up any runs on three hits, no walks, six strikeouts against the Rangers. So we like Gomber on the road. Maybe we should just like Gomber in general. This was a start at Coors Field. And then Tucker Davidson for the Braves, going five scoreless innings for them. Did walk five batters, but that was pretty much it. Just gave up one hit, had five strikeouts, and that was against the Nationals. He, too, will pitch in Miami against the Marlins this coming week. So, again, one start streamers, Gomber, Davidson. How do you feel about this week?
Yeah, I like Gomber. I'm probably not going to go after Davidson just because of the lack of a track record, but we've seen a lot of good from Austin Gomber this season, and that matchup with Miami, very attractive. I think he should be at the top of your list, and maybe even the very top of your list, maybe behind Tony Gonsolin if he's available in your league, so long as two starts is not a big deal to you this week.
You're all right. Sounds good. And we're going to wrap up here. Two Tater week. Couple more hitters with two homer games in the same game. Salvador Perez, he's just been slugging really well lately. So he's up to 14 homers on the season. I still think at some point this year, we'll, you know, have a conversation about whether or not maybe he's the first catcher next year. But we got lots of season left to talk about that. And Josh Donaldson maybe finally getting it going. He got his sixth and seventh homers in that same game against the Royals. And just a note here, James McCann looks like maybe his bat is waking up. He homered against the Padres on Thursday. That's now two straight games with a home run for McCann. But really, it's been a couple of weeks of good hitting for him. His last 15 games, 289, 347, 644 slash line. So is he maybe a one catcher reinforcement at this point, or we're still just two catcher option?
No, I think he can definitely be a one catcher reinforcement, especially with when you think you've got Austin Nola, who went back to the IL about a week ago. You got Mitch Garver, who just went onto the IL. So guys who were easy one catcher league guys on the IL, you add that in there. I think James McCann definitely is now in the one catcher mix.
All right, well, let's go from the catchers to the pitchers and look at Friday streamers. We've got John Gray at home. You know, he likes to pitch at home. The season, strangely enough, he gets Oakland with Frankie Montas going for them. And by the way, part of John Gray's maybe the secret sauce there, he is leading the majors among qualified pitchers in barrel rate, both as a per plate appearance ratio and a per ball, batted ball ratio. So pretty interesting season there for John Gray. We have Cody Petit and Mitch Keller going against each other, Marlins Pirates. We've got the other Keller, Brad Keller, going for the Royals against the Twins and Matt Shoemaker. Josh Fleming having a nice season so far. He's got the Rangers in Texas, Kyle Gibson coming back for them, Matt Peacock at the Brewers and Freddie Peralta, and Kwangkyung Kim versus the Reds and the struggling Luis Castillo. So just to recap here, John Gray, Petit, Mitch Keller, Brad Keller, Josh Fleming, Matt Peacock, and Kwangkyung Kim. Anybody worth streaming today?
Good options up and down. I mean, I think all those guys are worth streaming depending on what you need. I'll rank them Fleming, Poteet, Keller. Or no, Fleming, Poteet, Kim, Keller, Gray, Peacock. But I really have no problem with any of those guys being someone who you stream this weekend or today.
All right. So maybe passing up on a John Gray home start. We'll see how this one this one works out. And then finally here, as we wrap up the week, let's look ahead to this weekend's fab options. Really kind of a topsy-turvy week here where the hitters have dominated in the box scores and maybe dominating fab, because other than Tony Gonsolin, I'm not really sure that there's a whole lot of really attractive pitching options for fab. But in terms of hitters, just a few that I'll be looking for: Hunter Renfroe in a 7-game week coming up for the Red Sox, and he's been hitting well lately. Garrett Cooper, we talked about earlier this week, and Marlins also with the 7-game week. Willie Adames, Brewers have a very favorable schedule coming up, and Adames is liked hitting as a Brewer. Ty France and J.P. Crawford in deeper leagues with the Mariners actually having a very nice road schedule this week. And similarly, Giants with a good schedule. So in deeper leagues, Steven Duggar, who's been hitting for some power, looking for him in some deeper leagues. Anybody that you might add to that list, or anybody you would subtract from that list?
No one I'm subtracting. I would add, I'll just throw one name out there for a very deep league. I think Patrick Wisdom's going to continue to play for the Cubs, and he's hitting for power. He stole a base. He's going to play so long as they've got as many injuries on the infield as they do. So he'll be a deeper league guy. We'll talk about all these guys on Sunday, me and Al, on the full version of our Athletic Fantasy Baseball show. So be sure to check us out then.
Absolutely. So yeah, please do. And plus, we'll be back on Monday morning to kind of tidy things up for the coming week. So with that said, that's going to be it for this week and this episode of Fantasy Baseball in 15. And if you do have a moment to rate and review the podcast, we would greatly appreciate it. For Michael Beller, I'm Al Melker, and we will be back here on Monday.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.